Israel is living in covenant rebellion against a faithful covenant God. Israel is not merely in theological error. It was marital betrayal. At Sinai, you know, the mountain, Israel signed a covenant with God. It was there that they pledged to exclusively worship Yahweh. They gave a covenant to remain loyal to God. But then they began to chase Baal, to form foreign alliances and false gods. It violated all of their sacred vows. The word forsaken means to abandon a relationship one is obligated to maintain. Israel had not wandered accidentally away, but she has walked away knowingly. That is why marriage is the chosen metaphor here. Nothing captures betrayal like broken vows. Nothing communicates covenant pain like an unfaithful spouse. Charles Spurgeon said, "Idolatry in the heart is as real as idolatry on the hilltops. If you love anything better than God, you are an idolater. If you trust anything more than God, you are an idolater. The idols may change, but the sin does not. Whenever we exalt money, pleasure, power, or self above God, we repeat Israel's idolatry." Hosea is a living parable. By marrying Gomer, Hosea becomes a walking sermon. His home becomes the prophetic stage. Every betrayal becomes the theology. Every heartbreak becomes revelation. Hosea does not merely speak about God's pain. He feels it. Later in Hosea 3, the prophet is commanded to love his wife again after she abandoned him. The verb that's used there is covenant love, not just emotional affection. Hosea must love against reason or pride and self-preservation. And then comes the marketplace. This already sounds bad. Hosea has already he's already gone through the worst thing that he could possibly imagine. He's already married to this woman, and now he has to go to the marketplace in front of everyone and buy her back. She left him and went back to what she was doing. And he already was married to her, and he had to purchase her with silver, 15 shekels. He buys back what already belongs to him. The humiliation is now complete. R.C. Sproul writes, "The scandal of Hosea's marriage was intended to mirror the scandal of God's grace. That he would set his love upon a people so undeserving, so unfaithful, and yet, I like that word, and yet never let them go. Imagine a husband who discovers that his wife has sold herself into slavery. The natural response would be anger and rejection. But this husband, Hosea, goes to the marketplace, pays the price, and then brings her back home. That's Hosea's story. That's God's story. Hosea's marriage reveals not only Israel's sin, but God's heart. Hosea 2, 19 and 20 says, I will betroth you to me forever. That's God talking. Betrothal in Israel was legally binding. God is saying, I will bind myself to you again, permanently. The key word here means steadfast, covenant loyalty, love that endures the betrayal, love that disciplines without throwing it away. Love anchored not in human worthiness, but divine faithfulness. Bodhi Bakum observes, the love of God is not sentimental, but covenantal. It is not conditioned on our worthiness, but anchored in his faithfulness. Hosea prepares us for Christ. Hosea paid in silver. Christ paid in blood. Hosea restores a wife. Christ restores a bride. Paul writes in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. John Piper explains, the love of Christ for his church is a pursuing love. He does not wait for the bride to make herself lovely. He makes her lovely by his redeeming love. The cross is the ultimate Hosea moment. Public shame, sacrificial love, costly redemption. Hosea leaves us no room for shallow Christianity. If God has loved us with redeeming, pursuing, forgiving love, then we must love the same way. The application is in our marriages. Covenant love endures and it forgives. In our church, we restore the repentant, and we bear with the weak. In our evangelism, we pursue the lost because God pursued us. Hosea's marriage is one of the most startling pictures of God's love in all of Scripture. By commanding his prophet to take a wife of harlotry, God reveals the shocking depth of his covenant love. We were all spiritual adulterers, yet God pursued us. He ran after us. He redeemed us on Calvary. He is betrothed to us forever. Spurgeon once closed out one of his sermons on Hosea with this: "What a God is this who loves the sinner still? What a Christ is he who buys back his harlot spouse? What a wonder is the church, redeemed by blood, loved with an everlasting love, and betrothed forever to her faithful husband." Amen. Gracious Father, we thank you for loving us. We who were unfaithful, and for buying us back through Jesus Christ. And as we leave this place, we ask you, we plead with you to help us live out the covenant that was signed on Mount Sinai. Make us faithful in our homes, in our places of worship, in our jobs. May we be bold in our witness. Keep our hearts devoted to you until the day that we stand before you in judgment. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you listen to this song that is being played, think about it. Think about what you just heard. Are we still adulterers? Are we like Gomer? Or are we like Hosea? The choice is ours. God cannot make the choice for us. It's up to us.